It's time to let loose, talk some Michigan, and play in the playground. The Sunday Morning Playground on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. The Ticket. Here are your hosts, Jay-Z and Jeff. At the playground,
you know. Welcome to the playground right here on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. The Ticket. I am Josh Zinke. Jeff Chows, we've gotten rid of him. There's no need for him anymore. He's just late. He's actually just late. Jeff, how you doing? Exactly, he's not here. He'll be in here in a few minutes. I guess he's talking to the teacher right now. I guess he's in trouble. Tony O, still wearing shorts. Every show, he wears shorts. He's here. Good morning, Tony O.
Morning, Jay-Z. How are you doing?
And Matt Misler running the ones and twos and also the phones, it sounds like, over there.
No, not running the phones.
Not running the phones?
Nope.
All right, so you can't call today. Sorry.
Nope.
And then we have a special guest, Morris Fabry. From WCBN, he's now. When I talk softball, I want to talk to someone that knows softball. I don't like talking to people who think they know things. That's not it with Morris. He knows more than I do, and so we're gonna get into Michigan softball today because it's not talked about on most shows. It's not Michigan Insider, somewhat. They talk to Hutch. Okay, I guess that's a good source to go to, right?
Eh, I mean, you know, she knows a thing or two.
She does know a couple things about Michigan softball. I don't know. She's been there the entire existence of softball. She actually invented it. The middle show, the Inside the Huddle crew, they talk about it from time to time, and I know they want to get more into it this coming week. And the M Zone, I say it as we're coming in and out of breaks, and then it's forgotten. But today's the day.
What show?
Since I'm running it. Oh, there he is, Jeff Chows. Thanks for coming in about 20 minutes late. He likes to show up an hour early, and so he's just way off time. But thanks for coming in today. Jeff Chows is here. Well, he gets situated. So, Morris, your first thought on this Michigan softball team after losing the players, Romero, Lawrence, Sabonic, Lauren Connell, who is more of a blogger, Sarah Drzinga, Susala, and Rich Voski. Your thoughts on this team, though, after losing all them?
Well, it definitely shows that they have lost so many contributors, especially in the likes of Romero, Lawrence, and Susala. You know, they've, I'd say, performed below expectations so far. You might expect that a team that loses those kinds of senior contributors would drop a game to Florida, maybe, you know, play close against Florida State, even drop a game to a very hot Texas A&M team. But losses to the likes of South Florida, Notre Dame, Baylor, which they've sustained throughout the season, not really what you would expect, and I think it really shows more than anything the depth of the contributions that Lawrence and Romero made to this lineup. Not only were they excellent at driving runs in, but also excellent at setting the table. They were both always among the tops in the teams in on-base percentage, plenty of power, so you know, you got kind of that two-way versatility, both getting on base and driving in runs, hitting at one and two in the order, and it went a long way toward, you know, making the Michigan offense a juggernaut as opposed to what it's been so far, which, you know, it's already gotten shut out three times this season after getting shut out only three times the entirety of last year.
See, that's something I didn't even know. Jeff, did you know that? Nope, you're late. You don't get to talk yet.
Did about 15 minutes of research before coming on, and
see?
There you go.
And there you go. And, you know, I've seen that they've been shut out. I've seen people on Twitter kind of get upset, say, you know, is this the worst offense you've seen in a long time here at Michigan? Just answer that question, Morris.
Well, it's definitely the worst offense I've seen. Now, I only have covered the team for, this is probably the third year. I had no concept of Michigan softball before coming to WCBN and before covering the games a couple of years ago. I just kind of discovered that people were really interested in this team, and it also just so happened that the team is very fun to watch and won a lot of its games, and you know, WCBN's association with the softball team is kind of a dream come true. But also, as a result of only being around so long, I've only seen some really, really good softball teams. You know,
right.
The first time we covered it, they went to the Women's College World Series. Last year, they ran roughshod over a lot of non-conference foes and went, I think, 21-2 in the Big Ten. So, yeah, this is the worst offense that I've seen at Michigan, but I don't have, you know, a huge depth of experience to go off of.
All right. But your experience is you have more experience than Jeff Chows, who's late today. Jeff, how you doing?
Hey, good, Jay-Z. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Jeff. Your thoughts on this Michigan softball team? Jeff?
Well, they've struggled a little bit the last couple of days. I mean, we've seen it when, you know, as he mentioned, with the teams they played a schedule like they normally do. It's a very, very difficult schedule. But there's been that inability, as you mentioned, to put runs across the plate and really generate offense.
All right. And as we've been watching over the last week, Natalie Peters went from being the leadoff hitter to not being in the lineup. More likely an injury there. Do you guys ever heard anything? Because I have not. But she's just went missing from the lineup. More likely it's not something like, hey, they give her a day off here or there. So anything on word from her?
She's got to be hurt. I mean, you know, there's a day off, and then there's several days off in a row against some top-notch competition when the offense isn't really churning.
Yeah, very true. So do you think Hutch is still trying to figure out her lineup, Morris?
Oh, absolutely. I think that Natalie Peters will be a fixture at the top of the lineup, you know, once she is healthy, once she gets rid of whatever's been ailing her. But, you know, you see Faith Canfield moving all around the order. Lindsay Montemurano, even a senior who was expected to come forth and have a very solid year on the back of a strong second half, has struggled out of the gate. So, you know, there's some uncertainty as to who's even going to end up playing third base, who's going to end up behind the plate. Katie Alexander and Alex Subcheck have split time there. You know, who's going to play in left field? Courtney Richardson, a sophomore, started the season strong, but since then has sort of faded. You see Haley Hogenrod, a freshman, getting some reps out there. So, yeah, not only is she struggling to figure out a combination, you know, order-wise that works, Michigan still doesn't have a solid, established group of starters to throw out there game by game.
Yeah, sorry, Jay-Z. Go ahead. Morris, what have you seen from, I know Tara Blanco and sort of her status is kind of the question with this team and where she'll be as far as pitching or how many starts really or how many innings Hutch is going to give her. She's had a couple of rough starts in a row. What have you seen from her that's given you kind of given you hope that she can be the more like established number two to Megan Betsa?
Well, you know, I think Tara Blanco has pitched above the expectations that at least I would have had going into the season. You know, a 2.39 ERA. She shut down Arizona State, I think last Thursday. That was a very solid outing, and she at least kept the UCLA bats quiet enough to give the offense a chance to win the game. I think that she's really shown that she can be a solid number two pitcher. Certainly she's not going to get the strikeouts of a Megan Betsa, and will have to deal with the stress of an increased workload, given her lack of experience in the past. But I think the real concern with her is, you know, whether her focus can be as much on the offensive end as it was in years past, because not only has Michigan lost a few of the hitters in the middle and top of their lineup, they also have lost the Tara Blanco of last year, who hit over 400, who was a fearsome power bat in the middle of the lineup. Right now, she's hitting 224. The power hasn't been there, and that's really a large reason why Michigan hasn't been able to drive in runs against top teams.
Well, speaking of power hitters, I mean, we saw Kelly Christner in her sophomore year. She was a big, big bat for Michigan, and now she sort of had to take on more of the responsibility, shoulder more of that load offensively. Do you see her kind of returning to that, and where do you see her in the order? Is she going to bat cleanup?
Yeah, she's probably going to get that number three spot, because not only do you want her to drive in runs, but you also want her to get on base and set the table for the rest of the order. She leads the team in walks so far, and we saw, especially against Florida State, I think they intentionally walked her three times. And that's where it comes on to the likes of a Tara Blanco and Aiden Falk, to drive her in when teams you know, pitch around her, as they will when she starts the season hitting 500, hitting long balls, doubles, triples all over the field. But yeah, I see her really easing into the role as the leader of this offense. One thing that really came off in talking to the players is that they have sort of a lack of pressure on them. They don't feel the pressure of stepping into maybe bigger roles in the season, stepping into the shoes of that have been left behind by a team with such a strong legacy. And I think that she's really, you know, embraced that leadership role and has been able to forget last year some of the struggles that she had in the weight of increased expectations.
All right, Morris Fabry, our special guest on the playground. Morris, tell us more about you. I want to know about you, because that's only fair. Tell us more about first, your Twitter handle is?
At Mo Money Mo Fabry, F-A-B-B-R-I.
Excellent Twitter handle.
I knew you were going to love that, Jeff. And so you're no longer a student at University of Michigan?
Nope, graduated. Now I'm a bit of a burnout.
And what do you do? Well, other than that, what else do you do other than covering the softball team?
Well, I work at the hospital in a research project. Pays 10 an hour, pays the rent.
That's all you can ask for.
Yes.
Yeah, but really the highlight of my life is getting to cover this softball team with WCBN. So when I joined the station a couple of years ago, it was eight dudes operating out of the basement of the SAB. We covered, you know, basketball, hockey, football. Our parents would sometimes listen. Outside of that, there wasn't really a purpose to what we did. Got a daily show, 6 to 6:30 Monday through Thursday on 88.3 FM. But yeah, since then, since I joined, not because I joined, but since I joined, due to the work of other people, we've expanded. We got a blog now, WCBNSports.org. We cover all kinds of sports. I already talked about how we kind of married ourselves to the softball program, but we got a guy covering baseball in California now. He'll be calling the game tonight. You know, we covered lacrosse, water polo recently, and our membership has expanded, and it's been the most fun thing I've done as a student and at the University of Michigan and as a resident of Ann Arbor in general. Great extracurriculars, if not super relevant for, you know, a future career.
Yeah, Morris, I have to say, you know, being a Michigan alum myself, and I look back at my undergraduate career, and one of my big regrets is that I didn't do more with WCBN. It kind of worked out. I ended up in radio anyway, but just have to congratulate you guys on the work that you've done, because I get the notifications. I see you guys stream over YouTube. You do a lot of really interesting things. I just wanted to commend you for that.
Thanks, I really appreciate it, and I am grateful for the opportunities that have been afforded to me through WCBN, and I think the biggest thing that we're doing this year, or my favorite thing that we're doing this year, is actually starting a podcast on Michigan softball. It's allowed, you know, close contact with Leah, the SID. You know, you get to talk to the players every Wednesday and get a little more insight into this team that we've covered and adored for so long. It's been awesome.
All right, so you guys were there for the first games. That's the only way you could listen to it. I know Jeff Giles listened to it.
I listened to it
on my TV. Just went into the YouTube app.
Chromecasted it?
Did it, yeah. Chromecast, and then went ahead and listened to the games. You were there.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that Florida game. Because that was one of those instant classics. If it would have been on ESPN or something like that, they would have shown it over and over again. But it was on WCBN. Tell us about calling that game and really the trials of that entire 10-inning game.
Let me tell you, the adrenaline was pumping, you know, from the fifth inning on. Megan Betza was just a joy to watch. We didn't really know what to expect out of her. She took the whole offseason off, you know, rehabbing whatever injuries she might have had, and, you know, came kind of unpolished into that Florida game after not looking exactly excellent in their opener against the Delaware Blue Hens, but she came out and she shut down one of the top offenses in the SEC. It was electric, you know, strikeout after strikeout. The international tiebreaker rules, putting a runner on second base to start the inning, starting in the eighth inning,
right,
which, you know, they got to do to expedite the tournaments, just ratcheted up the intensity another notch. Both teams executed at such a high level, and you know, it was really staggering that the pitching was so good on both sides. You know, Betza matching inning for inning with Kelly Barnhill and then Delaney Gourley into the ninth and the tenth innings. You got to play at a high level to keep runners from scoring from second base to start the inning in the eighth and ninth. It was incredible. My voice was gone, I think, like midway through the seventh inning. It was actually pretty cold up there in the broadcasting booth, so I was shivering and had the feeling of adrenaline going through the veins, and it was really exciting. It was a joy to call.
So Megan, after 190 pitches, they end up losing.
Was it that?
190 in all, 43 batters faced, 12 strikeouts, 6 walks, only 1 earned run, 2 runs were scored on her, and 10 total innings. 6 hits also allowed. She had 2 1-2-3 innings. That's their first loss on the year.
That's not a lot.
No, not really. But did you think she looked tired? Do you think she could have gone more? I mean, because you need that kind of pitcher that's going to go get strikeouts because of a runner on second. You know that they're so close, and really a base hit anywhere might even score a run.
Yeah, I don't think that she allowed the fatigue to get her. I talked to Alex Subcheck, that Wednesday after that weekend series, and she said that fatigue really wasn't a factor for the team at all until after the game, when the adrenaline fades and the reality of going 10 innings against one of the best teams in the country sort of sets in. But I think Betza could have gone, you know, well into the 200s with her pitch count. I don't think she would have let Carol Hutchins take her out of that game. So I don't think fatigue was a factor. She looked strong in the extra frames, too. She was still recording strikeouts, hustled home to cover on a wild pitch to get the final out of the eighth. that would have put Florida ahead in that game. I think Betts is prepared to be a warrior this season, and that showed from the get-go.
All right, let's ask Morris, our special guest right here on the playground, one last question. Megan Betts picked up a bat against Cal State Fullerton.
She did?
She did. She had an at-bat. She's 0-for-1.
She did. I saw a screen capture of it, Jay-Z. Yeah. It looked a little awkward. But
technically, it's 0-for-0, but who's counting?
What do you mean?
It was an error.
Oh, it was an error. Okay. Yeah. But why? So, Morris, why do you think after all this time, do you think she's angry and she's like, here, I'll show you what I can do with the bat? Or is it just like, hey, I want to take a turn? Because there's a few times where Sarah, even Haley, said, all right, I'll bat. I'll go ahead and go up there. I'll show you what I can do. Jerzinga had a big grand slam years ago against Michigan State. I think it was a 20-4 game, but still. So your thoughts on Megan Betts actually picking up a bat?
Well, you know, you got to get the bats going one way or another if Carol Hutchins is going to find an offensive spark through an unlikely source. I guess that's the way to go. It's probably just allowing her to have some fun in a game that turned into a blowout. But if this unleashes, you know, a kind of Sarah Groenewegen aspect to her play, I am all in favor of it.
Oh, I definitely
we
am
can
also.
Only hope for that, I'll tell
yeah.
you.
But I don't think we'll see too much of that, but you never know. All right, let's take our first break right here on the playground. Special guest, Morris Fabry. More is on softball after this break.